Okay, so then preaching me, well, it's just a matter of mathematics. Yeah, how many votes do we have in the Senate?
About a dozen.
A dozen? Is that gonna half of them elected? Okay, so I got the South and Goldwater and his boys. I'll take my chances in the Senate.
Yes, we should.
This damn neck.
Well then, sir, we'll have to deal with the possibility of removal from office, loss of pension, possibly even prison.
Yeah, well, plenty of people did their best writing in prison.
It's from the political drama Nixon, Oliver Stone's Nixon, starring Anthony Hopkins, which is on the list of our guests' top 13 political movies, in no particular order. That was a good film. Some said it's surprisingly sympathetic to Richard Nixon, but I thought that Anthony Hopkins was great in that film. So you wonder what we're talking about? Well, we needed a little bit of a break. Not that we're getting off politics, but that we thought that for those of us who need a little bit of something different, what about political movies? And we started thinking about our favorite political movies of all time and thought, let's get a guest. And we did. Mike Mayo, film critic and a contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times, who has compiled a list of his top movies. And we thought that you would, of course, have top political movies as well. So we're going to ask for your thoughts about this. And we'll hear from some of these films as well, little clips from them. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. And the Facebook page. Oh, yeah, put some of the films on Facebook, because it would be fun to read a list. And then we can all look at political films this week, is the Kathleen Dent Show. Mike, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Kathleen. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you as a guest. I watched this pretty much nonstop, but over the weekend I thought, even I have had enough of this. I can't do this anymore. So I watched Advising Consent, and which made your list. I was glad to see.
That's a nice film. It is a bit dated now, as any film made in the 50s has to be. But I think it gives a really kind of nice look at Washington and the way things work there. It's based on this big, huge doorstop of a novel. But it's all about is it Secretary of State confirmation?
Secretary of State confirmation. Yes.
And what, you know, whether the guy was a communist, all kinds of stuff like that. Terrific performances by people like Charles Laughton in that, and just a lot of fun. One of those movies you kind of just, you know, get into in a kind of soap opera way. I have no idea if there was any real basis in fact there or not, but it's just a really fun story to dive into and live with for a while.
Yeah, it's good. Do you know if anybody, I look at your list and I thought, boy, I'd like to be watching one of these every day until the election, and I wish I had started last week. Is there any place that's running these films, or do you have to go out and rent them? Because we're all going to want to see them after this hour.
Yeah, I think you've just got to put them on your list, your rental queue from Netflix or Blockbuster or wherever, or if you are lucky enough still to have a good local video store, go check there, because all of these have been available on disc and tape, and you ought to be able to find them. They are there, let me just put in a plug for the local video store. I know they're a kind of a dying breed, but I love good independent video stores the same way I love good independent bookstores. And if there's one anywhere near you, patronize it and shop locally there, because those guys and women really deserve our help. They tend to be really good, interesting stores with fun people working in them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Let's hear just a little bit as we talk about these. We wanted to pique your interest in them. This is a little bit of, it was very, very well acted, dated, as Mike says, because it was, 1962, but an enjoyable tale of Washington infighting with Henry Fonda and Charles Laughton and Peter Lawford and many others. Here's a little bit of it.
And it is not enough that the subcommittee has permitted a great man to be smeared. Now the chairman of that subcommittee is deliberately blocking the committee vote. It's just one more thing to add to the most unfair hearing in the history of the Senate.
Mr. President, will the senator yield for a question?
Will the senator yield for a question?
I'll yield to the senator from Kansas.
Mr. President, I must admit I'm not a supporter of Mr. Leffingwell, but I watched the hearing on television and it seemed eminently fair to me.
Mr. President, I'm sorry if the senator from Kansas was not perceptive enough to grasp what was obvious. I am telling the Senate exactly what happened.
As much as I appreciate hearing about the senator's particular view, I am constrained to say I will need more substantial proof than the senator's personal description.
Mr. President, is the senator calling me a liar?
The record must stand as it is, Mr. President. How the senator interprets that record is his own problem, not mine.
Mr. President, I'm sure the senator from Kansas is welcome to take advantage of her sex.
Oh, Fred, come off it.
You think it's funny? You think the world thinks it's funny? You think the world thinks it's funny that the Senate is trying to smear a man who believes in peace? Do you think the people of this country think it's funny?
From Advise and Consent. That was Betty White, Mike?
Yeah, isn't that astonishing?
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
And I love that. That's a really nice clip to play because it really gives you the feel of that movie and the kind of formality that you tend not to see so much in political movies anymore. They tend to be more, you know, backstage and about campaigns as opposed to the workings of things. And the nice formal language and the back and forth and everything, oh, just very nicely done. And it also just gave us a little hint about the beginnings of how important television was there.
Right.
Terrific stuff.
And we started the show with a bit of Nixon. I thought that was a superb film. And you say that it was a surprisingly sympathetic look at Richard Nixon.
Yes, I really do think so. I mean, that's Oliver Stone's film, and Anthony Hopkins was nominated for an Academy Award for it. And I felt like Stone really did try to get under Nixon's skin and to figure out who he was, what really drove him, and found his relationship with his mother and his wife, who was played by Joan Allen, to be kind of the two keys to the man, and which... I'm not sure if it's true or not, but it certainly made for a really good, gripping drama. It's one of those films where even though you know everything that's going to happen in it, essentially, it still maintains your interest, and you want to stay with it and see how these things are going to play out. And again, I thought that Anthony Hopkins, even though he's, you know, would not be your first choice as a guy who looks like Nixon to play him, did a very good job with it, suggesting the accent rather than trying to do any of the many Nixon imitations that we had heard so many times.
Right.
Just a nice movie.
It was. It was a very nice movie. Mike, are there a lot of political movies? Do they tend to do well at the box office, or is the opposite true?
They tend to go in cycles, just like everything else in Hollywood. And I think in some ways now, filmmakers are a little gun shy of them because we live in such a highly polarized political world now that it's very difficult to make a movie that with a political point of view that is not immediately going to alienate half of your potential audience. We've got one coming out on DVD tomorrow called The Campaign with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. Which is kind of even-handedly dismissive of both Republicans and Democrats. And I like it for that. It also goes into some real strange, crazy things, too. But it's I think it shows what a filmmaker has got to do. Another one, I don't know if I had it on my list or not, that came out back in the 90s called Dave with Kevin Kline playing a guy who was a presidential impersonator or, you know, who looks like the president and is brought in to be president for a while. And a very old story, very nicely done. And that, too, managed to stay away from any real political point of view, left or right. And so I think was a good, successful movie. That's relatively rare these days.
Yeah, here's a little bit from Dave.
Because, hey, things aren't fine. We got so many problems that we don't even want to look at them anymore. They just blend together into this great big noise, and pretty soon we can't even hear ourselves think.
But that's not even the worst part.
The worst part is that we feel like we can't do anything about it. And that's a tragedy. Because we can. We don't know where to start, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. But I have an idea of where we can start. From today, I'm going to make it the responsibility of this government to find a job for every American who wants one. Have you ever seen the look on somebody's face the day that they finally get a job? I've had some experience with this. They look like they could fly. And it's not about the paycheck. It's about respect. It's about looking in the mirror and knowing that you've done something valuable with your day. And if one person can start to feel that way, and another person, then pretty soon all these other problems that we're facing may not seem so impossible. You don't really know how much you can do until you stand up and decide to try.
From the film Dave, which I guess wasn't on your list, but we'll put that on the list, huh?
Yeah, that's a very nice movie. And if only things were as simple in real life as Kevin Kline made them out to be right there, all the things
right.
would be so much nicer.
Right. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We thought during this political season, if you need a break from what's going on in the 2012 campaign, and you wanted to not leave the realm of politics, why not see a political movie? Actually, I was looking for a list like this one. I thought, this is the way to spend my off-political time watching a political movie. We'll put this on our Facebook page, too, because I think many of you would like to have a list, too, of what you would like to see that was considered a masterpiece, and the films go way back to 1939. Let's go to some phone calls, and we'll start our calls with Greg in Eau Claire. Hi, Greg.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I nominate the film The Last Hurrah with Spencer Tracy. It's a quaint look at politics past, and it's also kind of reminiscent about Chicago politics. I grew up in Chicago, and it's reminiscing. Another film that I liked was Milk, which was about Harvey Milk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I like the social message that had, and that's about it.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Mike.
I agree with Greg completely. Last Hurrah is, you know, kind of the first big political film about a big city mayor who at the end of his career decides to do one more run for office. Again, as we were saying before, kind of dated now simply because of the times. But also, Milk. Milk is a terrific film. It does what we had been talking about earlier. Yes, it is about Harvey Milk, who was working so hard for gay rights. But whatever your position is on that issue, you can watch this film and really get into it because Sean Penn is so good. And the real story of the film is his awakening, his becoming a real politician and learning how you do politics. That's what makes it so interesting and so much fun. It's not whether you win this election or lose this vote, whatever. It is that whole process. And I found that I really just got involved with that film a lot. As it happened, I watched it a couple of times with different groups of people. And every time I watched it again, I found that everyone around me just really got into it. It is a crowd pleaser in the best sense of the term, in that it is just a story that people become involved with and just are riveted by. And it wasn't just me or just one particular group of friends, but a very large group in that respect. And let's put another recommendation in for that because it really is worth taking another look at.
All right. Let's go back to 1957. This came up during our conversation the last hour of the program with the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who said that we lost him recently, Andy Griffith, playing Lonesome Rhodes, a hobo-turned-media hero. You say his resemblance to Rush Limbaugh is eerie. Let's hear a little bit from 1957, A Face in the Crowd.
That's my house guest, Senator Fuller. That's the sort of man I like to see in the White House.
Don't they call him the last of the isolationists?
Oh, maybe in some of those left-wing New York papers. Rhodes, I want you to get to know people like that. I'd like to sort of take you under my wing and educate you.
Sure, General. I'm just a country boy.
Young man, never forget Will Rogers. He was just a gum-chewing, rope-twirling cowboy. But he got to where he was telling off presidents and kings.
General, my thinking is the second section of the same train.
I've always gone in for long-range planning. Right now, Lonesome is merely popular. Oh, very popular. But Lonesome Rhodes could be made into an influence, a wielder of opinion, an institution positively sacred to this country like the Washington Monument. I suspect your idealistic young lady disagrees with me. But my study of history has convinced me that in every strong and healthy society, from the Egyptians on, the mass had to be guided with a strong hand by a responsible elite. Let us not forget that in TV we have the greatest instrument for mass persuasion in the history of the world.
TV, the greatest instrument for mass persuasion in the world. Is that true, Mike?
Yeah, and the character that Andy Griffith is playing there, Lonesome Rhodes, is kind of the complete polar opposite of the Sheriff Andy that yes. he played on TV.
Mm-hmm.
He's this very manipulative guy who's using his folksy attitude as a cover for just completely ruthless ambition, and he really doesn't believe anything he's saying. And you can see that Andy Griffith figured out pretty quickly, this is not the kind of role that is going to turn me into a great, you know, beloved character in American popular culture. And so that was really the only film he did that was anything like that. And then from that, he turned to the Andy Griffith that we all know and love so much.
Mm.
But that movie, again, is just a terrific look at a certain kind of politics. I believe it's a Bud Schulberg script, just, you know, really, really one to find. It's never been real popular, but it is out there on DVD, and
okay.
it shows up on cable sometimes. So find that one. It's
yeah, I will find that one. I've never seen that. It reminds me when you said Ruthless Ambition, I did see. I guess I have been on this kick of watching political movies. It was a book that I loved when I was in high school, Robert Penn Moore and All the King's Men.
Yeah.
And I watched that over the weekend as well. That and I watched the earlier version of it. That's a classic as well.
Yeah, the Broderick Crawford version is much more successful than the Sean Penn version, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good film. Oh, we need to pause for a moment. Let's return. We're talking with Mike Mayo this hour of the program. He's a film critic and a contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times. We thought, wouldn't it be fun to come up with a list of political movies? And he has a list of 13 of his top 10 favorite political movies. And we're asking you what yours might be as well, because why not watch them when you need a break from all the real politics? 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. The Facebook page, where we will later today post this list of his top 10. And you can add to it. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's what's got to be in it.
What?
The Capitol Dome.
On paper?
I want to make that come to life for every boy in this land. Yes, and all light it up like that, too. You see, boys forget what their country means by just reading the land of the free and history books. When they get to be men, they forget even more. Liberty's too precious a thing to be buried in books, Miss Saunders. Men should hold it up in front of them every single day of their lives and say, I'm free to think and to speak. My ancestors couldn't. I can. And my children will.
That has to be one of the all-time classics. You gotta love Jimmy Stewart. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington from 1939, Mike.
I love that movie, and I what I really love about it is that it just wears its idealism on its sleeve and
mm-hmm.
dares you to knock it off.
I know. You're right.
And I saw that movie several years ago. They did a restoration of it and showed it at the Virginia Film Festival, and Jimmy Stewart was a guest. This was just a few years before he died. Mm. And he was so proud of that movie. I mean, you could tell this was something that he, in his long career, he really believed in that. And it when he spoke about it, the warmth was absolutely sincere. I don't believe for a second there was any pretense there. He, in many ways, was Mr. Smith and deserved to be proud of that movie.
Yes, it is a wonderful movie. Let's go to Dan next in Beloit. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, I should say. You guys mentioned a lot of great movies that I do enjoy, but one movie I think that adds a little bit of outside of the box, adds a little bit of humor to it is The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy. It kind of shows a little bit of reality, a little bit of lobbyist. I don't know. It's probably not real popular. It's fairly old, but it's one of those movies that is kind of a little bit outside of the box, but still a political movie.
He is a lobbyist who then runs for the House of Representatives. It's been a long time since I've seen that. I can't say I remember it well enough really to talk about it.
Thanks very much, though, for the recommendation. Diane in Eau Claire endorses Primary Colors from 1998.
Yeah, that's based on the anonymous book that was, oh gosh, what's his name? The guy who was revealed to have written it. He still talks on TV a lot. And the thinly disguised book about Bill Clinton. Again, some terrific performances in it. John Travolta is really good in it, and I believe it's Kathy Bates who's also just so terrific in that. A nice movie, not on my list, but I give it props for doing what it does.
Right, Joe Klein is the guy.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to Rich in Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. One of my all-time favorite movies is Bulworth. Warren Beatty's Bulworth, where he goes to a black church and. It makes me think about all the black churches that Mitt Romney has gone to in this campaign. Not, but he tells his congregation or audience there, you're going to have to learn how political power works in this country, and you'll be good at it once you learn to do what the whites do. You buy it. And he goes to a audience of Jewish movie moguls in L.A., and he tells them, most of what you produce is really a bunch of crap. And the whole film is about a politician speaking very candidly. And I was waiting for President Barack Obama to turn to Mitt Romney during the debates and say, who are you? Who do you think you are tonight? And who were you yesterday? And I was told that, well, a president and a candidate can't call each other liars. But somebody has to point out that when a man changes his position so remarkably, that the voters really should be paying acute attention to what's going on in terms of swaying people with rhetoric and with energy levels.
Mike.
I tend to agree. And let's do remind our listeners that Bulworth, with Warren Beatty as this politician who goes out and speaks the truth to his various constituency groups, is a fantasy. This is, to my knowledge, nothing like this has ever happened in the real world. I like Bulworth, too. It's one of those movies that never really caught on, at least not in its theatrical release, but since then has developed a real following on DVD. And that's the case with some of the other entries on my list, too. They're ones that there's something about them. They're a little too quirky, really, to appeal to a mass audience. But once they're out there on DVD, the audience that they do have will find them.
Let's go to one from 1976. Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman. And we already knew what somebody said about this movie. We already knew what was going to happen, but you watch that movie and it is just it's so engrossing that you're at the edge of your seat, even though you know the end of it. All the President's Men. And here it is.
You let Haldeman slip away.
Yes.
You've done worse than let Haldeman slip away, get people feeling sorry for him. I didn't think that was possible. In a conspiracy like this, you build from the outer edges and you go step by step. If you shoot too high and miss, everybody feels more secure. You put the investigation back months.
Yes, we know that. And if we're wrong, we're resigning. Were we wrong?
You'll have to find that out, won't you?
Listen, I'm tired of your chicken games. I don't want hints. I need to know what you know.
That was a wonderful film. That was really a good film. I probably have seen it about, I don't know, six or so times. It's on your top 13, Mike.
Oh, yeah. And the reason for it is it has got a as you alluded to there, this great script by William Goldman. He approached it as a detective story. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, we've got this crime and how do we solve it? And because of that, I mean, it just, you know, has the perfect dramatic structure, beginning, middle, end. And so, like we said, even though you know how it's going to end, getting there and kind of seeing it from the inside out really makes that just an involving story. And these two guys, Redford and Hoffman, right at the top of their game, too. Great surrounding cast with them, too. Jason Robards and Hal Holbrook and everybody. Ah, just a terrific movie. And like you said, one that you can sit down and watch again anytime, and I guarantee you will get hooked on it and just have to sit there for the whole 2 hours till it's over.
Right. Carol in Muscadet is our next caller. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. The movie 7 Days in May, I wanted that to get mentioned today.
That's on his list.
Good. 1962, I think it was made, not released until 65 or maybe late 64, because it was eerily parallel to the events, that is, the assassination of JFK. And I also think it influenced Oliver Stone's perspective in JFK, which is another great, in my opinion.
Mike.
Yeah, 7 Days in May is a terrific movie. It is about a coup within the military to take over the civilian government with Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas. And Carol might also want to see, if she hasn't, it was remade under the title The Enemy Within for HBO with Forrest Whitaker, and kind of updated, too. And that version, too, is very nice. I don't like it as much as I like 7 Days in May, because 7 Days in May, like the other, so many of the other movies we've been talking about, has this really solid story structure. And with it, you don't know how it's going to end all the way through, and that's what makes it so much fun. Also, it was one of the movies that was made back when Hollywood was at its best with black and white. And black and white at that time was often reserved for serious movies. You used color for musicals and fantasies and things like that. But if you had a good serious story to tell, you shot it in black and white, and this is really good, crisp black and white that just really looks nice on TV screens now. I highly recommend 7 Days in May and The Enemy Within, the Forrest Whitaker version.
7 Days in May, 1964, with Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas.
I think the signing of a nuclear disarmament pact with the Soviet Union is at best an act of naivete and at worst an unsupportable negligence. We've stayed alive because we've built up an arsenal. And we've kept the peace because we've dealt with an enemy who knew we would use that arsenal. And now we're asked to believe that a piece of paper will take the place of missile sites and Polaris submarines. And that an enemy who hasn't honored one solemn treaty in the history of its existence will now, for our convenience, do precisely that. I have strong doubts, General.
Mike Mayo is our guest this hour, and he is film critic and contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times. We asked him, would you come up with a list of your top political movies? And he has Mike Mayo's 13 top 10 political movies, which we thought would be so appropriate to talk about this week and a day before our big elections in this country. Our number, if you would like to add to this list, or actually we're getting through the list, we haven't talked about all of the films. Let's talk about another film. This was a big film, a very influential film. I don't know if it was an underground film or if it was highly successful, from 1968, Medium Cool. Can you talk about that film, Mike?
Yeah, Medium Cool is a wonderful movie. Again, it has a strong cult following because It's not a conventional film. It starts off being a conventional narrative about following a reporter and a sound guy through the 1968 Democratic Convention. It was written and directed by Haskell Wexler, a great director of photography also. And to do it, he actually got into some of the demonstrations and things like that. So a lot of the footage of it was actually done in the streets. And at one point during one of the riots, you can hear somebody yelling off camera, "Look out, Haskell, it's real." And so it has an immediacy that those times had too. The ending of it is hard to take because it does some real strange things at the end. I'm not sure it's the right ending. I'm not sure there is a right ending for the story he's trying to tell there. But it is just a fascinating look back at that time. Stars Robert Forster, who's gone on to do so many other good things. And if you've never seen this, I really recommend it to you just for a look back at the way things were in 68. It is unlike much of anything else you'll ever see, not to all tastes, and it's has a fairly hard R rating. It's certainly not for kids, but anybody who's interested in political movies and political history at all really should take a look at it. It's called Medium Cool from 1968.
Let's go to Mac in Madison next. Hi, Mac.
Matt, yeah.
Matt, hi.
Two films to add to the list. One is Richard Gere in Power, and the other one is Robert Redford in The Candidate. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Let's start with The Candidate. I know that made your list.
Oh, yeah. That is the terrific movie with Redford where he starts off as he's kind of a sacrificial candidate. He has no chance in running for, I believe it's a Senate seat. But then as the campaign goes on, he starts to develop a following, and so people start taking it seriously. And my favorite scene in it is one where we've been seeing him deliver his stump speech in many different places, and he sits down in the back of a limo, completely exhausted, and all of a sudden the stump speech just comes pouring out of his mouth as just kind of nonsense. It gets all garbled and mixed up. And I have always had the feeling that is a moment of real truth. If that didn't actually happen sometime, something very much like it did, it just seems so real that I have to believe it, that it really did happen. The other movie, Power, stars Richard Gere as a political consultant who is working, I believe he starts off working with a Mexican campaign and also is working with one in America. It's looking at the whole business of politics from a different part, inside out, but from a very different angle. A nicely done movie, and I think an underappreciated movie. Gere always turns in good performances, and he's really good in that movie. I haven't seen it for a long time, so I'm not sure the other plot points in it, but I just remember it as being one that, again, I really got into and like very much.
All right, we'll add that to the list, and let's listen to a little bit of the 1972 film The Candidate, Robert Redford making a long-shot run for a Senate seat, an excellent insider's view of a campaign, according to our guest, Mike Mayle.
Okay, we've got about 60 seconds of privacy before they find out we're here now, so what's on your mind, Senator?
I don't know.
Okay, I gotta get out there. See, I told you they'd be here.
Marvin, what do we do now?
Wait a minute, what?
From The Candidate, 1972. What's that?
That's the famous last line of the movie.
Oh, it is this. I have not seen this film. I need to see it. This week, if I can get a hold of it this week. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We're talking about the top political movies of all time and welcoming your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number. The email is talk@wpr.org. Or just a reminder, we'll put all of these on our Facebook page, kind of our little treat for you during this election time, and that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
When's Joe Cantwell being nominated?
As soon as we're finished.
Yeah, President Hoxton, I was trying to get him.
We're so close, we can almost make it on the first ballot.
If I can swing our Hoxton.
Where do we stand with Tidal and oil?
Drink more oil. Oh, that's milk. Jansen, position paper on oil.
Mr. Secretary, sorry to interrupt.
That's all right, Janet.
Mrs. Russell, we'd like to see you right away.
What? Where?
Well, right here in your suite. She just telephoned.
Thank you, Janet. I've got to call in our hospital.
Okay, oh, Bill. I've got a schedule for Alice.
Here you go.
Where's the speech for tonight?
Oh, it's coming right up.
Right. Alert Mimeo.
Right. Where's that snowball?
No, too much snowball.
From a film that is on a lot of people's top political films, The Best Man, 1964, played on Broadway. It may still be on Broadway. Henry Fonda and Cliff Robertson vie for their unnamed party's presidential nomination at the convention. You say, Mike Mayo, that it is as relevant today as it was when it was made. How so?
Just because of the way it looks at the inner workings, and it's all about, you know, how much do you believe in your convictions? What are you willing to do to be elected, as opposed to get the things done that you think need to be done? Henry Fonda is just terrific in it. So is Cliff Robertson. It is dated in that, you know, it's all set during a political convention. That's just, you know, dramatic framework of it, and those aren't quite as important anymore. But it's still just the conflict between the two main characters and what they believe, what they're willing to do to win. That part of it is what is still relevant today. And again, as we've said with so many others that we've talked about, this is just a really good, solid story. It's been revived on Broadway. Every few years it comes back simply because it is such a crowd-pleasing play. I saw it a few years ago with Chris Noth doing one of the roles and just was knocked out by it. Hmm. The movie holds up just as well. Again, with a terrific performance by Henry Fonda, at the top of his game there too. If any of our listeners have missed this, put it on your list. You really want to watch this movie, just to see a really good, solidly told story. The Best Man from 64.
All right, that's first on my list. You convinced me. Is it? One of our listeners wondered, a precursor to The West Wing with quick dialogue, staffers walking down the hallway?
Yes, very much. I think the people that did The West Wing certainly had watched this and taken notes, careful notes.
Interesting. Michael in Middleton, hi.
Oh, hi. I haven't seen the list, and I apologize for that. I'm very much enjoying the show. I would add Bob Roberts, which is probably about 20 years old, and I think it's Tim Robbins, I'm probably getting his name wrong. Susan Sarandon's ex. It's about a faux senatorial run, probably about 20 years ago, and it gets in the whole media thing and electioneering. And one of my favorite things is they do a parody of Subterranean Homesick Blues, the iconic Bob Dylan video, but it's all, you know, folk music used as a right wing device for electioneering. And I love that movie.
And the video he's talking about is the famous one where he's holding the poster board with the lyrics on it and just dropping them down. A very nicely done movie, and it's one where Tim Robbins is kind of playing the political opposite of his own beliefs, and so it's kind of a nasty spirit to it that you will really enjoy if you share those political beliefs. If you are of the more conservative bent, I think you will not be so amused by it.
And it's called Bob Roberts?
Bob Roberts, yes.
Bob Roberts. Thanks very much, Michael, for the call. Andy in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Andy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to mention Wag the Dog. Not so much because it doesn't focus on policy or candidacies, more so about the government kind of manipulating the public with phony wars, and I guess in the same vein we could lump in Canadian Bacon as well.
And that's the Michael Moore film. Wag the Dog is a movie that I don't like as much as some people do, because I love the book that it's based on. It's based on a novel called American Hero by Larry Beinhart. And I, as is always the case, you know, when you really like a book, they never can quite do it justice when they bring it to the screen. And they changed this one considerably. It's all about kind of starting a phony war to get the current president reelected. Beinhart's book is terrific. I thought that they went a little too far with some of the stuff in the movie, but it was popular enough that now, you know, when you talk about a Wag the Dog scenario, everybody knows exactly what you're talking about right there. It's entered the language that way.
Thanks so much for the call. Russell in Green Bay writes, one of my recent favorites is The Contender with Jeff Bridges and Joan Allen. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that is a very nicely done movie. It's Joan Allen as the she's about to be, I'm trying to remember, the vice president has resigned or died, and she is going to be nominated by the president to take over. And she is opposed by various people who launch a smear campaign against her. She is terrific in it. The performances by Jeff Bridges and Gary Oldman are also terrific. There's a kind of a mystery element to the plot that I think doesn't work as well. It's a bit too transparent. But she was nominated for an Academy Award for that and is just terrific in it. But then to say that Joan Allen is just terrific in something is kind of redundant. I have never seen her not be terrific in anything.
Thanks for the message, Russell. Let's go next to Charles in Madison. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I've got two movies. One came out recently on HBO. It's called Recount with Kevin Spacey, and it's just an amazing movie recounting the debacle in Florida. And my second, one of my all-time favorite movies, I'm not sure if it quite works, but Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Dr. Strangelove is very much a political movie, you know, about the coldest days of the Cold War as the Cold War turns hot. Just a brilliant satire. And Recount, I agree, is a really nice movie. Looking at the recount of the Florida vote, and it really kind of gets inside both sides and what they were doing and the tactics they used, what things worked and what didn't. Really, really well done. Very similar to Game Change, the HBO movie that came out, I guess it was earlier this year, about the 2008 campaign playing Sarah Palin.
What's her name?
I think it was Laura Dern, who also played Kathleen Harris
Recount. It begins with a J.
Julianne Moore. Margolis.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Julianne Moore. She's terrific in it, and both of those, I recommend both Recount and Game Change. Excellent political movie.
Mm-hmm. Game Change was very well done. And she, what a task that is, because Sarah Palin was everywhere, and she kind of underplayed her to perfection, I thought.
I thought so, too. And really, I thought made her a more sympathetic character than I thought she was going to be. I thought she really got to the insecurity and someone who knew she had been kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool and really had a very hard time on so many different levels.
Yeah. Let's hear another clip from a film in 1962, a masterpiece, many have said. It's on your list. A masterpiece, Mike Mayo says, of political suspense about 50s conspiracy and assassination. We won't say the name of the film. See if you can recognize it.
You are to shoot the presidential nominee through the head, and Johnny will rise gallantly to his feet and lift Ben Arthur's body in his arms, stand in front of the microphones, and begin to speak. The speech is short, but it's the most rousing speech I've ever read. It's been worked on here and in Russia on and off for over 8 years. I shall force someone to take the body away from him. Then Johnny will really hit those microphones and those cameras with blood all over him, fighting off anyone who tries to help him, defending America even if it means his own death, rallying a nation of television viewers into hysteria to sweep us up into the White House with powers that will make martial law seem like anarchy.
Woo! Mike Mayo.
That is the great Angela Lansbury.
Oh, my.
Oh, I love that movie. That is the Manchurian Candidate, of course. And a lot of people don't realize she doesn't even have a name in that movie. She's just Raymond's mother. Or Mrs. Iceland, I guess. But, again, one that you can watch and rewatch. All you know, and every time you see that movie, you will find something new in it. The next time you watch it, just keep your eye on all of the images of Abraham Lincoln that show up all through that movie in the background and things. Again, just a terrific movie. This is it has a place of honor in my permanent collection. And I rewatch that with regular intervals. Love that movie.
Are you looking forward to the new Lincoln movie, the Spielberg movie?
I am. I was really surprised. The clips I've seen, Gary Oldman just seems remarkable in it, and I like the focus of the film, that it's not on his whole career, but just on apparently this one part of his presidency, getting the Emancipation Proclamation signed, which will make it probably a better political movie than most Lincoln movies have been. When I first heard about it, I was dubious, but everything I've seen about it has looked really interesting and good, and now I'm ready to go see it. I've been won over.
Good. Ben in Richland Center. Hi, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Oh, yes. Gabriel Over the White House, 1933.
Tell me about that.
Well, there's this politician, he's president, and he doesn't care about anybody but himself. It's at the height of the Depression, and he's almost killed in a car accident, and then he all of a sudden just completely changes as he comes out of his coma, and it's sort of like a New Deal FDR. He says, you know, he's rallying all these men storming the White House and says, you know, get off... Excuse me, get off, you know, you're lazy, this and that, and I'll put you all to work. I'll build camps and this and that. And then he just, you know, it's just an incredible movie. John Huston.
And Walter Huston, isn't it?
What's that?
Walter Huston, yeah. And it's kind of a fantasy, too.
It's just a really, really progressive movie, great Art Deco imagery and...
Again, more of a fantasy than a real political movie, and again, one that it has been so long since I've seen it that I hesitate to say anything more about it because I simply don't remember it very well.
Yeah, well, it's pretty old. It is a fantasy, you're right, yes. It sort of would be like a second cousin to Dave, in my opinion, where, you know, the substitute president comes in, you know, in that type of a vein.
That sounds interesting. Thank you so much for remembering that. Robert in Stevens Point. Hi.
Yes. Yes. This is more of a TV movie than a big screen movie. But there's a film from the 70s with James Earl Jones. I think it was called The Man. But from a political tragedy pushes James Earl Jones up chain of command, become the first black president, and there's a conspiracy to remove him.
It was made for television. I'm not sure if it's ever been out on DVD or videotape. I saw a copy of it not too long ago because I was doing some work on a book for a friend of mine, books Groovy Movies by Irv Slifkin, and I took another look at it, and it is very much a TV movie with the, you know, kind of limited production values and everything, and it was done before James Earl Jones was a star. And what will really shock the people who watch it today is the blatant racism that is so much a part of it. Even if you were making a movie about racism today, you wouldn't do some of the things that are done in this movie. It is very much worth seeking out. I don't know if it's available. If it is, find a copy and look at it, and your jaw will drop in amazement at some of the things you see.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. We have about a minute left. Mary in Bellsville. Hi, Mary.
Hi. My favorite political movie is 3 Days of the Condor with Robert Redford.
Yep. A good kind of a combined spy politics movie. Again, very done right about the same time as the Candidate and the Watergate movie, too. So All the President's Men. You know, this is turning into the Robert Redford fan club meeting here.
It's interesting that we have a couple actors, Robert Redford, Henry Fonda as well, who have been evidently cast because they're good in political movies.
And they just seem like politicians. They have that bearing and everything and can deliver lines that way. And so, you know, we believe them as politicians, as presumably we would believe them if they really were politicians.
Exactly. Mike, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for being with us. You have given us hours of entertainment that will extend beyond this show because we will watch these films again. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Mike Mayo, our guest this hour. Mike is a film critic and contributor to the Washington Post and the Roanoke Times. We'll be listing all of these films on Facebook. Just a quick recap. The Best Man, The Candidate, Manchurian Candidate, 7 Days in May, Nixon, Dick, we didn't talk about that, All the President's Men, Medium Cool, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Advise and Consent, Tall Gunner Joe, A Face in the Crowd, and Network are his top 13, and you've given us many, many to add to that list. Thanks to Brett Jaspers and Rhonda Fanning for getting all those clips together and producing this program, and thanks for all of your calls. We will be with you again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Great conversations ahead on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.